Okay, what's the number one reason you should try Instacart? Shopping over 1.5 million unique products from over 1,000 retailers and get everything delivered right to your door in as fast as 1 hour, all in one app. So you can spend more time with the ones who matter most. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time, $10 minimum per order, additional terms apply.
Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
We are halfway through. Thanks for hanging out with us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. And we do continue to march through the second round of the hoops and hockey postseasons. Not only do we have a couple more game sixes on the horizon in hoops, but potentially could have a triple header of game sevens on Sunday with another one to follow on Monday. That would be the schedule. Again, I don't know. I hope we get four game sevens. I'm not sure. Certainly, though, there is the potential, and both New York and Golden State playing at home, secure victory and extend their series on Wednesday night, and coming up on Thursday, Philadelphia and Denver have a chance to advance to the conference finals. Can they close out, respectively, the Celtics and the Suns? I love the fact that we get the strategy and we get the back and forth, the adjustments, and really a chess match over the course of a seven-game series in any sport, baseball, basketball, hockey. That's kind of the beauty of a game seven, is there's so much strategy and you see the adjustments really with the smartest coaches, which with the best players. It's almost like AI. Artificial intelligence, most of it is designed to not just accumulate information, but to adjust based on the information that it continues to process, right? That's the beauty of AI. It's not linear. It's actually a process with artificial intelligence where it can input information and then use that to make different decisions and be flexible. Sounds funny for AI, but that's the idea, is you have to adjust, you have to adapt, you have to change based on the incoming info. And that's what happens over the course of a seven-game series. So the deeper we go into these series, the more fascinating the decision-making becomes. Now, sure, you can see a team just fail to execute, not hit a shot, have a really bad game or really off game the way the Celtics did in game five at home. But the best players will find a way to rebound, and the best players are mentally tough where they can put the last game behind them. So that's the challenge faced by both Boston and Phoenix, actually, as the Suns will host game six against the top seed in the West, the Denver Nuggets. Suns facing elimination on Thursday night.
You got to be excited for these opportunities. You have to be excited for, you know, this chance, you know, to do something special versus a really good team. I'm just trying to win the game, you know, just whatever it takes. At all costs, you know, anything to get it done at this point is what I'm trying to do.
Devin Booker, point guard for the Phoenix Suns. We do know that Chris Paul will not be playing in this next game that comes up for the Suns. So the task, different, not impossible, but different. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We'll get to the NHL plus the decision by West Virginia to suspend Bob Huggins, not fire him. But before that, it was an honor to catch up with Basketball Hall of Famer, Vice President of the Suns and Mercury, also broadcaster for both teams. She's been on the show before. She's a previous game partner of mine, did color analysis for my play-by-play on Westwood One. It was an amazing opportunity to work with her and to talk to her and Myers Drysdale. We have a chance to catch up with her about once a year, and it is a great privilege to pick her brain. Had a chance to talk to her actually just a few minutes before the show started to accommodate her schedule. But I wanted to be able to talk both Suns and Mercury, the WNBA, Brittany Griner's return, and just in general what we've seen in the series so far. We know no Chris Paul, and so what changes with the Suns when they don't have CP3 on the court?
But just his leadership. I mean, he's been around and has been in every situation. He just brings a calmness and understands how to get guys the ball. Defensively, he is not given enough credit. I mean, he's still one of the top guards in steals. I think he either led the league or he's second last year. And he continues to be very effective on the defensive end. He's not as far as playing one-on-one quick guys, you know, younger guys that he's going to get by, but he's so savvy and just understands where the ball needs to be and when to get the ball to somebody. Since Kevin Durant's been on the team, he and Chris Paul and Devin Booker are so in sync with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people will say, well, he doesn't push the ball. He can push the ball, but majority of the time he brings it up a little bit slower and gets, you know, it takes us a little bit longer to get in the half court game. But, you know, I just think he's such a veteran player and understands every situation.
With a lot of athletes, the later they get in their career, they do have to find a way to make up for what is maybe the explosiveness or the speed that they're missing, right? The power that's maybe not there anymore. Plus, it's a young man's game, a young woman's game at every level. So how do older athletes adapt, whether it's Chris or whether it's even Steph Curry, who's now in his mid-30s? How do you see older athletes remain relevant, even when maybe they've lost some of the athleticism?
Well, the money's so good. Why are they going to retire? I mean, look at LeBron James. Look at Steph Curry. Look at Kevin Durant. You just go down the list. There's a bunch of mid-30-year-olds, and they're going older, especially in the WNBA and the NBA.
Right.
And in baseball, you see it in baseball, too. Football, probably not as much unless it's certain positions. But, you know, the money is just too good. I remember Julius Erving saying, you know, if I was playing today, I'd be playing in my 40s. I mean, because of the money. I mean, Vince Carter played in his 40s. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar played in his 40s. I think that you're going to see that more and more. Yes, you say it's a young man's game and a young woman's game. But in essence, when they come in, a lot of them don't pick up the speed, the quickness. And most of them that are getting high picks, they're not going to a top-notch team. And understanding how to defend in this league, you know, it's so physical. And the veterans understand what they can get away with. And the young players are still trying to figure that out. On the women's side, the speed and the quickness and the strength and the physicality is so much different than college. And playing an 82-game schedule,
right?
Then you talk about load management and so forth. I mean, and especially the young player, they get on a team that they're sitting, you know, and they don't get a chance to play. Or they're with a coach that's not going to play them. Or they just don't seem to fit in. Sometimes it takes a player 3 to 5 teams before they really gel.
You bring up Kevin Durant, and man, that was a blockbuster trade around the deadline. What was the attitude, the anticipation like inside your building when that trade was finally made?
Well, there was a lot of talk about it this summer. Everybody was talking about it then. And so when our new owner came in, Matt Ishbia, he and his brother Justin, they just pulled the trigger. I mean, you've got to make trades sometimes, and sometimes the best discussion on trades that aren't made are your best trades. But, you know, this one, in the sense of he's one of the best players to play this game, you know, we had to give up some really young, good talent, too. But, you know, he just changes things. He's so smooth. He's effortless. And he's had a couple of games where he struggled with his shots not falling, but as efficiently. But that's just it. He's efficient. He wants to win. He's not about himself. He's about the team. He knows how to be a leader on the team, too, even though he gives leadership to Devin Booker and Chris Paul. And, you know, they played Olympics together. And just having that knowledge and understanding of what it takes to win. He's a champion with the Warriors. You know, he's played at the highest level his whole career.
We're so excited to welcome back to the show Ann Myers-Drysdale, who's the vice president of both the Suns and the Mercury. Actually, the Mercury, about to start their regular season. She's also a broadcaster for both teams, so it's great to be able to pick her brain. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. You mentioned the change in ownership as well. How would you describe the culture with your team now?
Well, it's so positive. It's about both teams. And Matt Ishbia has made it very clear that he wants to bring more championships to both organizations. The WNBA with the Phoenix Mercury, we've won three titles already in 07, 09, and 14, and we've been to the finals. So we've got one of the greatest players to play this game in Diana Taurasi, who will be 40 in June.
Right.
And still, again, she just knows how to win. She knows how to get other players involved, and great players make players around them better. She comes to work every day, one of the first to get there, one of the last to leave, always working on her shot, always working on her conditioning, knows how to take care of her body. Other players come in and they just follow her lead. And, I mean, she's just special. She's always been special, and her ability to shoot the ball and understand how to get to the foul line and understanding how to win.
With that type of leadership, a great shift, I guess, in culture to have owners that's what they care about. They care about winning.
Well, they do, and they want to have fun. You know, he's got the largest mortgage company in the country. There's no question. When he came in and he talked to each employee in different groups and so forth, the players and the coaches and administrators and the employees all the way down to the, you know, people that work within the arena, and just talked about what we were going to accomplish as an organization. And he said, I'm owning the Phoenix Suns and Mercury for life. I love this. And, you know, he played at Michigan State for Tom Izzo. He was a walk-on, played basically a bench player, but Izzo had him come on and was an assistant coach 1 year. So, I mean, he knows the game. He's been around it. And he's passionate. And it's exciting to be around him, too, because he has such great energy and he's so positive.
What was your reaction to the exchange, we'll call it, with Nikola Jokic the other night?
If Matt hadn't been sitting there, it would have been somebody else. Who knows? You know. And then the big thing before the game last night,
right?
You know, the Joker came over and shook hands with him and gave him a basketball. You know, so you get caught up in the emotions of the game. And I really think, and I may be wrong, but basketball is probably the most emotional game because it happens so quick. You can be on such a high after one basket, and 1 second later, somebody makes a defensive play or knocks the shot down. And no other sport that I can think of where fans literally are sitting next to the court as close as they
right.
are, so close to the players that they can touch them, and also sitting behind the benches. You don't see that in football or baseball. I know that hockey, you've got the glass, so they can't touch the players. But courtside seats, I mean, they're so close. The game changes so quick, you know, as far as runs. You can go on a 17-2 run, and then all of a sudden the other team goes on a 10-0 run or whatever. So emotionally, it's a game that is so draining. And I think Chick Hearn said one time, it's the only game that really the rules justify disqualifying you from the game with your fouls. And I know people like Pete Newell and so forth have talked about, you know, no foul out rule. I mean, I know they do it in the summer league, in the NBA summer league, where they have 10 fouls.
Whoa.
But you could have, you know, after your sixth foul, you pick up a seventh foul, then, you know, you get a free throw and the ball out of bounds or something like that. I mean, people want to come see their stars play. And if the Joker were to pick up three fouls in the first quarter, he's sitting. People want to see him play.
Right.
Or Devin Booker or Steph Curry. To see them sit, or LeBron James or Jimmy Butler and Jalen Brunson and so forth, guys that are playing so great in these playoffs, and then all of a sudden they get in foul trouble, they got to sit. People want to see them play.
Sure, absolutely. From a player's perspective, because you played at the highest level, how do you feel about having fans right there on the court where literally they're close enough to touch you when you're near the sidelines?
Yeah, we've always had that, you know, even in high school, middle school, you know, I mean, you got parents standing on the wall right there and so forth and club ball and so forth. But, you know, it's just too much money. I mean, those
yes.
people are paying a lot of money. Somebody said, I guess, the Lakers the other night in L.A., there was a seat on the floor for like almost
$35,000. What?
I read that somewhere and I'm going, no, that couldn't be.
Do you think it's dangerous?
For the fans?
For the fans or the players to be that close.
Oh, for the players, for sure. I mean, especially when they're sitting so close and they're the court on the out of bounds is not that wide. And if you get people spilling food or drinks and so forth, you got to wipe that up. Or their foot is sticking out. It's close enough to, you know, go out onto the court. When players are taking the ball out of bounds, I mean, they're just right up against the fans. You know, when Shaq was playing, he dove for balls and he's diving into people, and that's a lot of weight to be landed on you.
Yes, yes, it is. Ann Myers Drysdale, Hall of Famer. She herself was number one overall pick for a WNBA draft. And when you think about the wealth of knowledge and information that she now shares with the front office of both the Suns and the Mercury, they are blessed to have her. We blessed to have her here on the show. Now, there's more. Second part of our conversation, I asked her about Brittany Griner's return and the platform that she wants to use now to be sure her experience in Russia, everything that it was, as horrible as it was, that it's not in vain, that her experience can help others. A little more with Ann Myers Drysdale.
T-Mobile's network can help keep you connected to all your favorite podcasts when you're out and about. Whether you're an early bird looking to dive into a daily news podcast or a night owl who wants to catch up on the latest reality TV drama, T-Mobile will keep you connected on their strong and reliable network. T-Mobile covers more highway miles with 5G than anyone. So if you need great coverage, especially when you're on the go, check out T-Mobile. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/CY. That's SEEWHY.
Attention listeners.
I'm pleased to announce that Radio Rental is returning for another installment of Terrifying Tales. If you happen to be new here, I'm Terry Carnation, current proprietor of the Radio Rental Video Store, where I possess a collection of the scariest true stories you've ever heard, all told by real people. Mark your calendars for, oh, apparently it's available right now. I'm a little late with this promo.
Listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For the break, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
For me, my wife, my family, getting me back home, being there, supporting me, letting me know that I wasn't alone, it means everything to me. To everybody, Vince, Bryce, Jim, I mean, coach, everybody, the players. I mean, it goes all the way down to the people that keep this building running. You know, it's a family with the Mercury.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Brittany Griner now working toward beginning the season with the Phoenix Mercury, being in shape, trying to recover that basketball shape that she said for 10 months wasn't able to do anything as she was detained in Russia. We did hear from her a few weeks ago in her first comments, and I was impressed by how open she was, that there was joy, but there were also tears. She shared a little bit about her experience, but what she mostly focused on was how she survived and the fact that it was the people who supported her that kept her going, that she knew there were people working hard to bring her home. And now, just a few weeks away from the WNBA season tipping off, I really hope that basketball gives her structure and gives her routine, but also gives her joy. When she wasn't able to play, you can imagine she'll never take it for granted again. When she thought maybe it had been taken away from her for good, how much I'm sure she missed it. And now she does have the chance to play again. The Mercury signing her to a one-year deal, and she's been working out and getting ready for the season to tip off. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Part two of my conversation with Basketball Hall of Famer, Suns and Mercury VP and broadcaster Ann Myers-Drysdale was about the WNBA. And considering that Brittany has not played since the 21 season, there's a lot that's going to go into her getting back on the court. The Mercury have expectations. They want to be a championship contender. Right now, maybe that's secondary. But Ann, what's it like to have Brittany back with the team?
Just a joy. I mean, I'm just in awe of her, honestly. She's always been one of the kindest and free-spirited people that I've met at such a young age. And, you know, she's 30 now, but to think of what she's gone through, going to into a country like the Soviet Union, Russia, mm-hmm. being in prison like that, I'm sure still emotionally and mentally that there's some things. But she's just been so gracious and grateful to be back in this country. And I'm fascinated. I've been in during the summer, was involved with a lot of different where I would go do appearances and so forth, and would talk to different people, and they say, well, that Brittany Griner, and she's a drug addict, and you know, doesn't love the country. And I'm thinking, she's played for our country for two Olympics. She loves this country. So she is a gay black woman. Is that what you're upset about? I mean, she's not a drug addict.
Right.
And she has been given prescriptions to help with her mental health. I just think she is so caring of other people. And I saw that before she went to Russia and even after she's been in prison. I mean, she started her own foundation, Heart and Soul, to go out in the community here in Phoenix to the homeless and give shoes and socks, and then teamed up with the Phoenix Rescue Mission and so forth. And so we kind of carried that on this last summer for her while she was in Russia. But, you know, she continues to help others. And she is now teamed up with an organization that is involved with families that have their loved ones that are imprisoned in other countries. And she and her wife, Sherelle, who just passed the bar and is an attorney, that they have both dedicated themselves to helping our government and helping others get out of countries that they're imprisoned.
Even after everything she went through, not only is she really excited about playing basketball again and trying to get back into that shape, but also wants to make sure that the time that she was detained there was not in vain. She wants to help other people who are in that same situation. How can the team, how can the administration help with that?
Well, they've been amazing. And the ownership and has been supportive 100%. The Mercury staff, Jim Pittman and Vince Kozar, they have been involved, and Brittany's agents. There's so many people that have worked behind the scenes, and Sherelle, her wife, has been amazing. Brittany knows it's a platform because of who she is and being able to use professional basketball to her advantage to help others. She understands her role.
It certainly does seem like basketball would help in that situation, right? As she moves forward, that's something that she finds great joy in, is being able to play basketball again. Before I let you go, Ann, the WNBA season is about to tip off, and it seems as though there's a lot of growth, a lot of excitement around it. How have you seen that kind of build up over the last few seasons?
Oh, gosh, I've been involved with the league since 1997, and way even before that, when the WBL, which was the first women's pro league back in 1978-79, being the number one pick then. But the players that came into the league in the beginning back in 1997, they were players that had been superstars here in college and on the Olympic teams and went overseas and played in Italy and France and Poland and so forth. So whether you had a Teresa Weatherspoon or Jennifer Gillum or a Janice Lawrence and so forth. I mean, just great players, Cynthia Cooper, that came back. And then you had the draft picks of a Tina Thompson and a Cheryl Swoops and Yolanda Griffith, who came in, players from the ABL, and Delisha Milton-Jones, and just great players, great names that really made this league and still are great names that I think we need to continue to talk about. I get frustrated with TV people that are broadcasting the women's game, and they still refer to comparing them to an NBA player. Our 27th year, we need to keep talking about the women that have played in this game. But the way it has progressed, I mean, the game, the kids are so talented today. And you get an Asia Wilson or a Sabrina Ionescu and,
right.
you know, Jonquel Jones and Brianna Stewart, what she's done. You know, you go to BG and we got Sophia Cunningham and so forth. So there's so many great young players, Janae Ogumike and Neko Ogumike. Go down the list. My mind is just like going, okay, what team? Candace Parker and
yes.
Chelsea Gray and so forth. But the game itself has risen, and people love watching the game because they're so competitive. They work so hard. To me, the women have been very out front of social issues in this country, especially during the bubble,
right?
And COVID, and Black Lives Matter, and Roe v. Wade, getting healthcare for maternity leave, and so many other things that they're fighting now to try, which they have been trying for the last 10 to 12 years, probably trying to get charter flights. Well, now it's even more of an issue. And I think eventually it will come. They're talking about expansion. The expansion will come. I personally would like to see this league become a 7 to 8 month league, not just a 4 month league.
Ah.
And so players don't have to go overseas and play. And I've always felt that way. I felt that we needed to be the league where players wanted to stay and play. And it's so tough for these kids to go over and play really 11, 12 months out of the year. Their bodies just can't take it. Mm. But the game is changing, and I think we're much more ahead as a league than the NBA was before their 30 years.
It's amazing to think about the growth and also that it's been that long. I don't think people realize how established the WNBA is. And you're right, such a powerful voice and a unique product, one that should be celebrated for what it is. Awesome to catch up with Ann Myers Drysdale again. She's a Hall of Famer herself. She's won at every level and now vice president for the Suns, the Mercury, as well as a broadcaster for both teams. Always awesome. Our privilege to catch up with you, Ann. Thank you so much for a few minutes.
Thank you, Amy. Anytime. Love talking with you, girl.
Yeah, privileged to talk to any Hall of Famer, but because of the fact that Ann is so widely respected, not just in women's basketball circles for what she accomplished as a player, but also in the men's game, a coach and a Hall of Famer and someone who has a perspective of having seen the game grow for both men and women. And she's played all over the world, played for Team USA, you know, being an not just a champion in college, but then being a widely touted and high-profile pick when she was getting into women's pro basketball. And what a great broadcaster, too. Had the privilege of doing a game with her on Westwood One going back a few years. So I love picking her brain, and we'll see. We weren't, of course, able to talk to her on Thursday because there's a Suns game going on as Phoenix tries to stay alive. All right, coming up, I will admit I was very surprised by the decision from West Virginia to suspend Bob Huggins instead of fire Bob Huggins. So I'll tell you why. We'll talk a little bit about that. Still have a lot to get to before this show is done. 90 minutes remaining before we launch you forward into your Thursday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Here on After Hours, we like you as much as you like us.
Hey, good morning, Amy. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
I really enjoy listening to your show. I actually get up and go to work earlier just so I can hear your takes.
Amy, I love your show. I've been listening for years, and I'm a first-time caller.
Great, thank you.
How you doing, Amy?
I'm good.
I've been listening to you for about a year now. You keep up the good show, and I'll keep listening.
Good morning.
Hey.
Hey. Hey, Amy, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
You do a great job. Love listening in. Just get me home every night. I don't know how you do it by yourself.
Love you, Amy. I drive home from work every night. I'm a bartender, and I listen to you every night. Love hearing a lady on sports radio.
That's right. We rock. Thanks so much. I appreciate your phone call. Woo!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Thanks for hanging out with us. We are bidding farewell to the Wednesday, to the hump day. It's officially in the rearview mirror. And I don't even know how to wrap my brain around the fact that it's May 11th. The last time I really felt like I could consider days and dates was early April. My birthday, Easter weekend, had family around. Since then, my goodness, the number of friends I have had to apologize to because I was a day late or a day early with their birthdays, and just feeling like the last month, actually probably the last 5 weeks, has been a blur. Trying to climb out of it now, and I do love May because it gets a little bit calmer and because the weather is generally beautiful in May. So I hope that your Thursday is beautiful, and maybe you'll be out doing yard work like me. Got to fire up the lawnmower again before the neighborhood watch. I don't even think we have a neighborhood watch. Before the neighbors start to post signs in my yard or give me hints when they walk by about the fact that my yard is unkempt and desperately needs a lawnmower and some TLC. That's in my future on Thursday before basketball and hockey. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Always good to catch up with you. I just did a CBS Sports Minute, very tongue-in-cheek. Sarcasm is my love language. And I ended it with this line: how did we ever survive without the NFL schedule release before now? So I hope that you catch that. And I just think the whole thing's kind of goofy. But the poll that we put up yesterday, just about this time, there's a few minutes left if you want to go check it out on Twitter or Facebook. As much as you all tell me, and I would say it's probably 55-56% between our two social media sites, we got nearly 1,000 people weighing in. As much as you all tell me that your level of anticipation for the schedule release is low, as in the 1-4 category or 1-3 category, there's sure a lot of you weighing in and telling me that it's not important to you. Anything to do with the NFL attracts attention, anything. And so today is the day. The morning is starting to dawn on the day of the 2023 schedule release. How do we ever live without it? It will be a topic of our show come this time tomorrow, though I can't tell you I will take it entirely seriously. But for some reason, I'm looking forward to it, mostly because I want the question answered of how many freaking nationally televised games the Jets get this year with Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback. And how few games the Broncos get with Russell Wilson as their quarterback when he and Denver were all the rage this time last year. Remember? We had so many AFC West games that were on national TV. It seemed like every Thursday night game on Amazon Prime featured an AFC West matchup. And for the Chiefs, yes, they were worthy of it. The Chargers, Justin Herbert, okay. But the Raiders and the Broncos, oy, it was just bad. It was really bad.
You think Sean Payton saves the Broncos a little bit?
I do think that he brings a level of credibility, number one. Number two, he sure as heck knows how to coach. So, yes, we're not talking about a brand new coach that was in over his head initially.
I just meant more for, like, primetime games.
Oh, no.
And national games.
Nah, I don't think the NFL would resort to putting a game on TV because of its coach. Huh. Nah, I think it's more about the star power on the field, though certainly love the storylines. All right, After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. I have been here on the air the last couple nights and have said multiple times, there's no way that Bob Huggins doesn't get fired by West Virginia. And so now I'm here to say I am stunned that he did not get fired by West Virginia. If you didn't hear his discipline, it's a 3-game suspension and he gives up $1 million from his contract. And instead of having a multi-year contract, he now operates on a year-by-year basis at the discretion of the university. So he goes from $4.2 million to $3.2 million. And honestly, this is relatively unheard of. I don't know that I've ever encountered a situation that I've talked about here on the air or in my career where a salary reduction was this gigantic. Now, a lot of people went through salary cuts, temporary salary cuts, sometimes even permanent salary cuts around COVID and the economy since then. But this is nothing to do with the economy. Bob Huggins is now essentially in the same boat as Bobby Knight was with Indiana. It's a zero tolerance policy, according to the school. The statement that came from the president and the athletic director includes this line: any incidents of similar derogatory and offensive language will result in immediate termination. So they're putting him on a zero tolerance policy. They're turning his contract into a year-by-year deal. And after the suspension for three games, his salary is only $3.2 million. And the money that they're taking out of his salary is going toward various organizations that support the university's LGBTQ plus center, training sessions, sensitivity training, that type of thing. I actually didn't know this, which this kind of adds to it, but according to the university, West Virginia, and they cited a particular institute that studies these types of dynamics, West Virginia has the highest percentage of transgender youth in the nation. I didn't know that. But that really underscores even more so how shocked I am that he keeps his job. And here's why I'm blown away by this. I'm not telling you that I agree with cancel culture. I actually think there's very little room for grace and forgiveness and second chances in cancel culture. And that's the part that bothers me. I'm not telling you that people don't deserve to pay the consequences for their actions and their choices, even if sometimes it's out of character or it was accidental. There should be consequences to our choices. But I don't agree with just carte blanche canceling everybody, and that word is so dumb, canceling everybody who ever makes a mistake. We know that there are people who have, whether it's autocorrect or repeating rap lyrics or reading something and not being cognizant. Again, I'm not telling you that all of these people should be exonerated from any type of consequences. That's not what I'm saying. But in a culture, in a society in which we are so quick to take that drastic step and eliminate people, fire people, take away their platform, get rid of them, I am surprised because the backlash has not been there, strangely enough, for Bob Huggins, or not enough for the university to make the change. And also, it's not like this was an accident by Bob Huggins. Not only did he say it once, he said it a second time, the anti-gay slur that he used. I've been in this business a long time, long before I started even in network broadcasting. So going back to my days of local broadcasting, this was not a word that you could use on the air. It's part of his vernacular, or he wouldn't have said it. And then to use the Catholic tag on there in his comments as well, it was not only offensive, but it was overt. It was on purpose. He didn't accidentally say a word that happened to be an anti-gay slur. No, this is Bob Huggins speaking the way that he speaks and not being in any way careful or cognizant of the fact that he is speaking to a live radio audience, right? He's doing this interview in Cincinnati where he used to coach. He's on a very popular radio station, a heritage radio station. He's conversing with a host. And whether or not he got carried away, I didn't hear the interview. I didn't want to hear it. So I don't exactly know the tenor. But whether or not he got carried away and was just caught up in the moment, if that's even a thing. He said this word twice. And he attached Catholic to it. And it was not an accident. It wasn't until the interview went viral on a website and got picked up and dispersed everywhere that he not only realized he had to apologize, but understood that he was not going to get away with it. And Huggins has a history of being fast and loose with his tongue. That's the part that blows me away. This was not an accident. It wasn't a mistake. It was intentional. Although I should know, right, in sports, in the big business of not just professional sports, but college football and college basketball, a lot of times more grace is given, more second and third and fourth chances, more forgiveness is offered for those coaches or sometimes athletes who produce wins and generate revenue. I hope it's a big deal that Bob Huggins has less job security, that he's $1 million lighter in the wallet. But gosh, I could live for the rest of my life on $3.2 million. I hope that he understands the magnitude, but also that he gets that most people do not receive the forgiveness and the mercy and the second chance that he's just received. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.